You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Midrash of the Week podcast. As I mentioned during last week's introductory podcast, the Midrashim that we will be studying together will not necessarily be connected to the Parsha or an upcoming holiday or any particular Inyan of the Yoma. I'll just be choosing Midrashim that I like, which I think will make it more fun. Of course, sometimes I might choose one which is timely in some way. But anyway, today's podcast, I'd like to look at a Midrash from Michilta de Rabbi Ishmael, which is, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the different types of Midrashic works, Michilta de Rabbi Ishmael is a Midrash Halacha, a Tanaitic work, which means that its content is from the time of the Tanaim, roughly the 1st and 2nd centuries CE, which is the same time period as the Mishnah. Midrashei Halacha, right, as the name implies, are for the most part Midrashim on the legal sections of the Torah. However, the title is more rigid than the content, and Midrashei Halacha also contains some Midrashei Agada, right, Midrashim on non-legal matters, such as the Midrash that we're going to look at today. For those who are interested, there is a copy of the key texts for the podcast on the website. But for those of you who will be looking it up on your own, right, this is Michilta de Rabbi Ishmael on Parashat Bishalach, Mesechta de Vayasa, Parashat Aleph. Today's Midrash is, actually it's Midrashim, we'll see that it's actually, technically speaking, more than one singular Midrash, is on the story of Mara, which is found in Shmot Perek Tedvav. Right? At that point in the story, Bnei Israel have just crossed the sea, right? The miracle of the splitting of the sea has just occurred, and Moshe, in Pasuk Kavbet, leads the people away from Yamsuf, away from the sea, and they go out into Midbar Shur, into the desert. Vayelchu shloshet yamim b'midbar v'lo matzu mayim. They walk for 3 days in the desert and they don't find water. Vayavo marata v'lo yochlu lishtot mayim mimara ki marim hem. Al ken karashema Mara, right? They come to a place called Mara, but they were unable to drink the water of Mara because the water was bitter, which is why the place was called Mara. The people complained to Moshe, right? What are we going to drink? They say, Pasuk kafhe vayitzak el Hashem vayoreu Hashem etz vayashlech el hamayim vayimtiku hamayim. Moshe cries out to Hashem, to God. Hashem shows him a tree, right, or a piece of a tree, a branch of a tree, which Moshe then throws into the water, and the waters become sweet. Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisahu. This is a very unclear part of the pasuk, but for simplicity's sake, since we don't have time to delve into it completely, Hashem, in some manner, gave laws to the people at this point. V'sham nisahu. There he tested him. Right, probably means that Hashem tested Bnei Israel, although it's possible that Bnei Israel were testing Hashem. Vayomer, im shamoa tishma lekol Hashem elokecha, v'hayashar be'inav ta'aseh, v'ha'azanta lemitzvotav, v'shamarta kol chukav, kol ha'machala asher samti b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. This is like the summary of the story, and you know, one has to figure out exactly how, but here Hashem says that if you listen to the voice of Hashem and you do what is right in God's eyes and you listen to his mitzvot and you keep his laws, all of the machalot, all of the diseases, the plagues which Hashem gave to Mitzrayim, put upon Mitzrayim, will not afflict you, meaning Bnei Israel, because I am God, your healer. This is a very, very loaded story, despite the fact that it's a very short story, and that makes it fertile ground for Midrash. And actually, there are many, many Midrashim on this story. Of course, we don't have time to go into all of them. We don't even have time to go into one of them completely, but we are going to focus on one question on this story, and within that, on one answer for that one question. And the question that we're going to focus on is, what exactly is the nature of this tree? Right? When Hashem shows Moshe a tree to sweeten the water, well, what kind of tree is able to do that? What's the deal with the tree? A quick glance at the Midrashim, if you have an opportunity to look at the source of the Mechilta in its entirety, you'll see that there are many, many, many answers to this question in the Midrash, and not all of them are even the Mechilta. There are other sources as well, and we're going to focus on one answer. And it's actually two different answers, which essentially say the same thing. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Davar min haTorah hereihu, and Hashem showed Moshe Davar min haTorah. Right, he taught him some Torah. Shine'emar vayoreihu Hashem etz. Right, as the pasuk says, vayoreihu Hashem etz, vayareihu Hashem etz eino Omer ela vayoreihu. It doesn't say that Hashem showed him a tree. Right, if Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is doing a very careful reading here, Ela vayorehu, right? He taught him a tree. Ki inyan shene'emar vayoreni vayomer li yitzmoch devarai libecha. Right? And he quotes a pasuk from Mishlei Perek Dalet, where the same verb is used, and there in that context, it's talking about teaching Torah, right? Sort of. Well, we'll look at that more carefully in a moment. Right? But from this, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai learns that since it says he taught Moshe, the tree, so that he must be teaching him Torah. Dorshei Rishumot Amru, Harehu Divrei Torah. Right, so Dorshei Rishumot, right, they were apparently Tanaim, rabbis of the Tanaitic era, who apparently dealt with difficult questions of this sort that are in the text. And they say, similar to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that he showed them Divrei Torah, Shanim Shalula Etz, right? He showed Divrei Torah, so why does it say tree if it was actually Divrei Torah? Because Divrei Torah are likened to a tree. Shene'emar, right? From where do we know that that Torah is likened to a tree? From the famous pasuk, which we quote in Tefillah, Etz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba. Right, in Mishlei, in a different parak, in Parak Gimel, there's a pasuk which compares the Torah to a tree. Right, it says it is like a tree of life to those who grasp onto her. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and the Dorshei Rishumot are essentially saying the same thing, or at least the bottom line. Right, they both say that when Hashem showed or taught Moshe the tree, right, that it was really Divrei Torah that he was showing him. But what is critical here in terms of our study of Midrash is that they support their claims in very different ways. The Dorshei Rishumot are suggesting an allegorical interpretation. Their proof is a verse from Mishlei, right? Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba, where the Torah is likened to a tree. And the Dorshei Rishumot apply this metaphor, right, that is created, so to speak, although it might appears elsewhere as well, this metaphor that is found in the book of Mishlei, and they take it and they apply it to the Marah story. If the Torah could be a tree in the verse in Mishlei, it could be a tree in the Marah story as well. Right, so they do not bring any textual proof from the Marah story to support their claim. Rather, they take an accepted idea, right, that the Torah is like a tree, and they import it to the Marah story, and they understand the Marah story in that manner. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's style of interpretation is significantly different. Right, he too claims that the tree is the Torah, but he backs up his claim with a textual proof from the Marah story itself. Right, his proof involves exegesis, parshanut, on the phrase Vayoreihu Hashem Etz. Right? As we said, literally this phrase means God taught Moshe a tree. Right? And from that word taught, Vayoreihu, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai wonders why the Torah would say that God taught him a tree. Right? When one would expect that he would say that Hashem showed him a tree, Vayareihu. Right? How do you teach a tree? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is essentially asking. Right? And so as an answer to this question, Rabbi Shimon quotes a different verse from Mishlei, Vayoreni vayomer li yitzmoch divari libecha shmor mitzvotai v'chaye. Right? So, right, the Midrash only quotes part of the Pasuk, right? But as we will see shortly, it's important to see the Pasuk in its context and see the full Pasuk. In this verse, the verb vayoreni, which means "and he taught me," is from the same root as the verb in the Marash story, vayorehu. So in Mishle, the verb is used specifically in the context of teaching Torah, or to be more specific, in the context of teaching Chochmah, which according to rabbinic interpretation of Mishle always refers to Torah. Rabbi Shimon learns from this that just as the verb in Mishle is talking about Torah, so the verse in the rest story, which uses the same verb, but whose meaning, unlike the verse from Mishle, is left a little vague, must be talking about Torah as well, right? Underlying this interpretation and lending it greater credence is the fact that the word Torah itself, which literally means teaching, is derived from the root of the very same verb, right? Yud Resh He. Right. So we see that the Dorshei Rishonot, Rabbi Shimon, are arriving at the same conclusion, but in very different ways. The Dorshei Rishonot took an idea from elsewhere, right, that the Torah can be likened like a tree, and they use that idea to understand the story of Marah. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai looks at the story itself. He bases his opinion on a difficulty in the text of the story itself, right? Beyond the question of, well, what kind of tree could Moshe have used? He sees this question on the word vayorehu, right, that it means to teach, and from that he derives his interpretation. Nevertheless, right, at this stage of our understanding of this midrash, the connection of the statements of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and that of the Dorshei Rishonot to the text of the Marash story is still rather tenuous. Right, it seems that thus far the Dorshei Rishonot are not really attempting to do any textual exegesis at all. Right, they're not really basing it on something in the text itself. Rather, they deal with the difficulties by interpreting it allegorically. And even the comment of Rabbi Shimon, which is much more parshanut, right, it's much more connected to the text than that of the Dorshei Rishonot, it still seems to be somewhat tenuously connected to the story of Marah. Right? It's true that the verb, Yud Resh He, which is unclear in the story of Marah, is used in an unequivocal context in the verse in Mishle, but does that give Rabbi Shimon the right to learn from one to the other? Right? Surely Rabbi Shimon is not suggesting that the verb Yud Resh He always means to teach Torah. Upon closer analysis of the statements of Rabbi Shimon and the Dorshei Rishonot, however, it becomes apparent that what they are trying to say, right, what they are doing, is more than meets the eye initially. And what is important to do, and this is an important thing to always do when you're learning Midrash, is to look at the proof text, the psukim that are being quoted by these rabbis, in order to fully appreciate what they are saying by quoting them. We do not in this context have time to read through both psukim in their context fully. I will leave you to do that fully on your own if you're interested. But if one looks at each of these psukim from Mishle in context, what one finds is that the psukim are not just random psukim which happen to have things that are somehow vaguely connected to words that appear in the Marash story, but what one has in each case is a pasuk which essentially talks about something which is found in the Marash story as well. So, for example, if you look at the pasuk again in the fuller context from Perek Gimel that the Dorshei Rishonot quote, both the story of Marah and the context of the pasuk from Perek Gimel contain many of the same key words. For example, both contain the verb matzah, tziva, Rafa, to heal, and of course the word itz, right? And in addition, right, even more significantly, both sections, both the story in Marah and Perek Gimel of Mishle, express the idea that following the word of God, right, and keeping his commandments brings health and long life, right? In the Marah story that's found in the last pasuk, right? If im shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem Elokecha, etc., etc. And you find this idea in Perek Gimel as well. For example, in Perek Gimel Pasuk Bet, ki orach yamim ushnot chayim v'shalom yosifu lach, right? That if you keep the mitzvot and the Torah, right, that this will add on to your life, right? It will give you peace, and it will add on days to your life, right? And this is an idea that repeats in that context in Perek Gimel of Mishle. So it is clear, right, when you see these psukim, this pasuk in context, that the Dorshei Rishumot chose the pasuk not merely because it contains the word tree as a metaphor for Torah, but rather it was chosen because, in addition to that metaphor, it contains thematic and linguistic connections to the Marah story, which makes its usage as a proof text for that story all the more convincing. Since the text and the proof text are really talking about the same thing, then it is legitimate, quote unquote, to learn from one to the other. And you can see all what I've said about the pasuk that the Dorshei Rishumot quote is true about the pasuk that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai quotes as well from Mishlei Perek Dalet. Right there too, the story of Marah and Perek Dalet in Mishlei share certain key words such as mitzvah, shamar, la'azin, shama, yara, you know, to teach, matzah, and again to heal, resh pei aleph. And there too, in Mishlei Perek Dalet, you have the same idea that Hashem's word will protect one from harm, right, and will increase life, right, just like we saw in Perek Gimel. So as with the proof text from the Dorshei Rishumot, Rabbi Shimon's proof text can be applied to the Marah narrative because the two are in essence talking about the same thing. And proof that these psukim are meant to be read in context, and that doing so reveals the connection between these psukim and the Marah story, is supported by another midrash from the Michilta de Rabbi Shmuel, which I brought at the end, after the midrashim that we've already read. And you can take a look at it there on your own, right? Where, in an attempt to understand the last pasuk of the Marah story, right? Ki ani Hashem rofecha, I am Hashem your healer. The psukim that are quoted from Mishlei at the end of the midrash to understand what does it mean, ki ani Hashem rofecha, that Hashem is our healer, are psukim from the same paragraphs that we read from Mishlei, right? Which expand upon this idea that Hashem will heal us and that his Torah is that which is the medicine, so to speak. It's important to note that this interpretation suggested by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Dorshei Rishumot also addresses another question, which is what is the connection between the last pasuk of the Marah story, which talks about listening to the Torah, etc., to what happened in the story itself. So if the story is really a story about Torah and about learning Torah, then that last pasuk makes a lot more sense. Which leads me to the next question, which is something you always have to ask when you're reading a midrash, which is this meant to be understood pshuto kamashmao? Are these rabbis suggesting that when, historically speaking, Bnei Israel came to Marah, right, what Hashem really provided to sweeten the water was Torah, right? What happened? If we were to have a camera at that spot, at that moment, are these rabbis suggesting? I do not believe that they're suggesting that, historically speaking, it was Torah that was given to sweeten the water. Not in a literal sense, right? There probably was something with a tree, and you can give any one of a number of interpretations exactly how that worked. that sweeten the water. But what they're suggesting, I think, is that what is really going on here has to do more with Torah and with following the word of Hashem than anything else per se, right? That's what the story is really about. I should say as an aside that there is another midrash quoted in the Mechilta, also attributed to the Dorshei Reshumot, which understands an earlier part of the story also as talking about Torah. Vayachu shlosha jamim bamidbar velo matzu mayim, right? The Dorshei Reshumot say, right? Lo matzu Torah, right? They didn't find Torah. It wasn't that they didn't find water. They didn't find Torah. Again, my suggestion is that it might not be that they're suggesting really that water is meant to be understood here as Torah, but that they're saying that this is what the story is really about. Historically speaking, they probably didn't find water. But in terms of what the meaning of the story is, it has more to do with Torah and following the word of Hashem than it has to do with water per se. Right? And this idea is expressed in one last midrash that I'm quickly going to bring you. This midrash is found in the Tanchuma on Parashat Vayakel. And there it says, Vayavo marata v'lo yechlu lishtot mayim mimara ki marim hem. Amar Rabbi Levi, lama ki marim hem, hador haya mar b'ma'asav. Rabbi Levi here notices a certain vagueness in the pasuk. It says that they couldn't drink the water of Marab ki marim hem, right, because they were bitter. Now, one has to understand that in Hebrew, the word water, marim, is plural. The word water, mayim, is plural, right? So that's why you have mayim karim, right, in plural. So when it says ki marim hem, right, because they were bitter, right, that is talking, according to the Peshat, about the water. They couldn't drink the water because the water was bitter. But Rabbi Levi is taking advantage, so to speak, of the vagueness of the word hem, they, and suggesting that hem refers to the people. Why couldn't they drink the water? Because they were bitter. Hador haya mar b'ma'asav. It was a bitter generation. Right? So what he's suggesting here, again, I don't think he's contesting what the pshat of the pasuk is, what the simple meaning of the pasuk is, but he's suggesting that what the story is really about is the people, more than any situation about the water. The people react a certain way because of their own bitterness, more than because of the situation. So similar to what we saw in the Midrashim of the Dorshei Reshumot and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we have this idea that while the story itself is a simple story of not finding water and people being thirsty and calling out for God and God providing them with sweet water, there's really more behind the story. That the story has more to do with the people and how the people reacted, right? Or back to our original midrash, it was more about the fact that they needed to know Divrei Torah, Divrei Hashem. They needed to be able to know how to focus on that, more than it was a story simply about a lack of water in the desert. So what these midrashim are doing isn't rewriting the pshat for us. It's not telling us how we're meant to understand what happened historically at Marah. But it's refocusing for us what the important underlying message of the story is. I suggest also, although we don't have time to do it together, to look at these stories in the context of the other stories that surround it in Sefer Shmot. Right? One sees over and over again that the stories, particularly the stories that come after it, but even the ones that come before it, are stories which can be read on two different levels. Right? For one quick example, you have the story of the man, right, where the man is about hungry people who need food and Hashem miraculously providing food. But the man also symbolizes the word of God, right? That's an idea that is found in the Torah itself, such as that all of these stories can be understood on two different ways. So here is this was our first taste of a midrash, right? Understanding where the midrash comes from, right? Where the rabbis are basing their idea in the text, and also trying to understand what they're trying to do, what they're trying to say, by playing, so to speak, with the text the way that they do. Until next week, Shavua Tov, and we'll meet again next week for our next Midrash of the week.